As Christine's been saying, we carry on through the Lord's Prayer, and we've reached the bit about deliver us from evil, being delivered from evil. And I think today, though, when we hear the word deliver, we perhaps have something slightly different in mind. I am not unwilling to say that as I started looking at this and I started to think about deliver and being delivered, my main thing that came to mind was something more like this. We're used to the idea of receiving deliveries, aren't we? For those who aren't acquainted, Deliveroo is a thing. You see people around with bikes with impossibly large backpacks, and if you go on an app, they will deliver you fast food from all sorts of different places. They will cycle it to you. So they get fit and you eat unhealthy food. It's a really good arrangement. And sometimes perhaps then when we come to this and we're thinking about being delivered from evil, we perhaps have a slightly similar approach that actually sometimes for some of us, that is when we come to God, isn't it? Is when we get into a really difficult situation, when we find ourselves really stuck somewhere, when things seem to look like they're really down and really bad, that is the point in which we come to God and we say, God, would you really help me? I'm in a right mess here. And probably if we could, much like Deliveroo, if we could, we'd like to have an app. A God, please rescue me now app, because I'm really stuck. I'm really in a jam right now. And can you know, in something like Just Eat, where you can see how long it's going to take. Yeah, you go onto a thing on Just Eat, and it tells you we can deliver it in the next 45 minutes. And you go, oh, I want something faster than that, so I'll look to another one who can get me my kebab a little bit faster. But when we come to look at this part of the Lord's Prayer, it's probably quite important that we remember that we're just looking at a little bit of it, but it comes as part of a whole prayer. We've worked through lots of it already so far. Jesus doesn't just start by saying, pray and just say, deliver me from evil. He starts by saying, our Father in heaven, that we come to God as a heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name, that we want God to be number one. Your kingdom come, that we want God's rule to be here the way that it should be. Your will be done, that we want to see God's will done. We want to see God's will done in our lives, and we want to be people who do what God wants. Give us this day our daily bread, that we come to God daily and ask him for the things that we need each day. Forgive us our sins, that we come to God and we ask him to forgive us for the things that we've done wrong. And we have to go and forgive others who've done wrong to us as he has forgiven us. We thought just a couple of months ago about asking God not to lead us into temptation. And Matt Scott, he spoke very powerfully about actually all the things that sometimes can tempt us and how we need to turn away from them and ask for God's help in doing that. And then we get to this bit about saying, deliver us from evil. So it's not just a cry out to God on its own apart from everything else. We thought a bit about superheroes, and as Christian was saying, we like superheroes because they are people who rescue people, aren't they? And I think definitely number two and number three in our top 10 were in the wrong order, but we can argue about that later. And I'm not sure about that other one being in. Anyway. But we like superheroes because they're people who come and rescue, aren't they? If we watch a superhero film or read a comic or something, what it is when we're watching that is we're thinking we'd quite like to be the superhero. Yeah, most of us, that's what we're thinking. I like Iron Man. That's one of my favourites because you just think he's a very rich bloke. He's an ordinary bloke and he has an amazing suit. It's all about the suit. And you've got to like Batman's gadgets. I think that's probably why he's somewhere up right at the top there. Because we want to be the superhero, don't we? We want to be the one who's going off and rescuing other people. I doubt many of us watch the superhero film and go, I want to be the person being rescued. Yeah? Maybe some. But there's something going on down here. Okay. You keep him in check, Alan. Thank you. Or when we think about, lots of us might quite like the idea of being a firefighter. You know, we might like the idea of being somebody who goes and rescues people. But none of us would want to be the person who needs to be rescued. And the thing is, when we come to pray this bit of the Lord's Prayer, it actually needs us a little bit to recognize that we are people who need to be rescued. That actually, if we're going to ask God to deliver us from something, to rescue us from something, we actually have to recognize that actually we are people who need to be rescued. And we can think of ourselves as strong as we want, but actually it takes some real strength to realize that we can't do everything. And there's times when we need other people's help. And that actually we need God to rescue us. And the good news is that God is in the rescue business. We've had the story about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and we saw that amazing rescue that God did, rescuing the Israelites from the Egyptians, that terrifying situation that Christine was just helping us think about a little bit, that terrifying situation, this army charging before you, charging towards you, an ocean on the sea on the other side, and how are you going to be saved from that? And God parts the sea in an amazing way. But it's not the only story in the Bible about how God has rescued people. God is in the rescue business. The Bible is littered with stories that you know, a lot of them, about how God has rescued people. Noah, on the ark. God told Noah to build an ark to save himself and his family from the flood that was coming. Joseph, who was thrown into the pit by his brothers, and God rescued him from that. He was then in prison later, and God rescued from that and used it to save many people's lives. David and Goliath. David, who had to go up against this huge, mighty warrior, and when he didn't take any armor or shield or anything like that, went just with a sling and some stones, and God was able to rescue him. Daniel, in the lion's den, being thrown in a pit with lions, and God was able to help him survive a whole night in a pit surrounded by lions, and he came out completely unscathed. I like this picture. This is Jonah, thrown into an ocean in the midst of a storm, swallowed by a whale, who seems to be quite pleased with the fact he's chucked Jonah up on the beach because he's doing a little backflip there at the back. Rescue Jonah. And if you're here over the summer, we'll be thinking a bit more about Jonah and through the summer series about Jonah and how God worked in his life. Peter, in the New Testament, Peter was in prison, and God sent an angel and was able to rescue Peter out of prison and take him out unscathed from prison. And ultimately, Jesus, who died, and God was able to conquer even death, and Jesus came back from the grave. But maybe you're thinking, well, but I'm not stuck between an Egyptian army and a sea. I'm not about to face a great big flood. I'm not being thrown in a pit by my brothers. I'm not facing a mighty warrior. I'm not in a hole with some lions. I've not been swallowed by a whale. I'm not arrested in prison, and nor am I dead. So why do I need rescuing? Well, there's a bit in the Bible that says this. Oh, no, we're not going to go there yet. Why is it that I need rescuing? Well, the truth is, actually, sometimes our greatest enemy is ourselves. And sometimes, actually, what we need rescuing from is me. That we all recognize that we do things that are wrong. If we're really honest, we recognize that sometimes we've done things that we would probably describe as evil. That actually, we've all fallen short of what God wants for us. And God is the only one able to rescue us from that. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8. So what should we say about all this? If God is for us, no one can defeat us. He did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. So with Jesus, God will surely give us all things. Who can accuse the people God has chosen? No one, because God is the one who makes them right. Who can say God's people are guilty? No one. Because Christ Jesus died, but he was also raised from the dead, and now he is on God's right side, appealing to God for us. Jesus was the one who died and rose again, and it's through him, through that huge cost of God not sparing his own son, but God being willing to give his own son, that huge cost that God was able to overcome all the evil of everything we've ever done, that if we trust in him, we can be forgiven, we can be forgiven, rescued, delivered from all those things that we've done. And so that verse that it says there, who can say God's people are guilty? No one, because Jesus died. But it hints on there, it says that there's more than that. That Jesus didn't just die, but he was also raised again. And it shows us actually how much God is able to deliver people, how big his rescue can be, that actually even death wasn't too much for God to overcome. Christine asked a little bit earlier about things that we might need delivering from today. What might we need rescuing from today? I'm going to give you 60 seconds just to talk with the people around you and think about the things that maybe people might need rescuing from today, things that we might need rescuing from, things that people around the world might need rescuing from today. Ready, set, go. That's my one. It's all right. Yeah. Thank you. How are we on time? Okay. Sorry?
Time-wise, we're doing well, I think.
Cool. I've only got that much more. No, that's actually probably longer than, well, it's probably the same amount we already had. Okay, what kind of things do we need, what kind of things might people need rescuing, might need delivering from today? Anyone want to give me some things that you've just been talking about? You were talking, so you must be saying something. Yeah. Diseases, yeah, sickness, yeah, other things. Yep. Poverty, thank you. War, thank you. Yep.
Sharks,
yeah. Many scary things. If you were near a shark, you'd want to be rescued. Yeah.
Drowning,
yeah. Very scary, yeah. Sorry?
Starvation,
yeah. People haven't got enough food. Paul? Temptation, thank you, yeah. Edith?
Our phones.
You know it's true. Barry?
Seven deadly sins.
You want to list them off? Yeah, go with it. Yeah. Greed, thank you, yeah. Donald Trump. I try and remain politically neutral. But nice one, yeah. Jealousy. Yeah, that comes into the seven deadly sins, jealousy as well. Yeah. Anyone upstairs with a loud voice?
Anger.
Thank you. Fire. Yeah. Bad relationships. Yeah, where our relationships have gone really sour. Thank you. All sorts of things. Sorry?
Hatred.
Thank you. Yeah. All sorts of things that actually... can mess us up, can mess up our world, can mess up our relationship with other people, can get in the way. But God is in the rescue business, and he is the one who's able to rescue and to deliver people. That passage in Romans goes on to say this: can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can troubles or problems or sufferings or hunger or nakedness or danger or violent death? But in all these things, we are completely victorious through God who showed his love for us. Yes, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the whole world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing whatsoever will be able to separate us. All these things, we are completely victorious. Some will know it as we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. That actually nothing, all those things we just said, all those things that we haven't said that might scare us, that people might need rescuing from, delivering from, none of those things are too big for God. And that whenever we face any of those things, we can come to him and we can ask him for help. We can ask him to rescue us. And God sometimes does that in slightly different ways. Sometimes he might take us out of the situation. Sometimes he might make whatever it is go away. And other times, he gives us what we need to be brave, to be confident, and to know that he's with us in whatever it is that we face. Some years ago, I was told a story about a child who was about 6 years old, a little boy, and he'd gone with his dad, who was a student at the time. He was studying at university. And it was in the evening, and his dad needed to go to the library and to return some books. And it was all dark. The library had all been shut up. There weren't students pulling all-nighters or anything like that. It was all kind of empty and everyone had gone. But he was able to get in to go and return his books and to take some new ones out. And it was a big, big library. Libraries at universities are big, big places. And his dad went in and he said, look, I've got to go to a few different places. So, look, we'll go in. Just wait here. And I'm going to go and I'll go and put some of these books back and get some of the ones that I need. And I'll be back in a minute. And suddenly this boy, 6 years old, find himself on his own in this big, dark library. And his dad went off and disappeared off behind some of the rows of books, and he couldn't see him, he couldn't hear him, and suddenly he was on his own. And it was all very quiet in this strange place in the dark. And his dad started to come back, and as he got towards his son, he could hear that his son was saying something. He could hear that he was saying something to himself. And as he got closer and closer, he started to hear what it was that his son was saying. And he was saying this to himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that boy had memorized those words from Psalm 23 in the Bible. And when he found himself in a place where for him was quite scary, and he didn't know what was going on, he was able to remember and say those words to himself. Not that he suddenly disappeared from the library or the lights all turned on, but he could remember that God was with him and would help him even in a place that was scary to him. And sometimes that's the most important thing we need to remember when we come and we ask God to help us, is to remember to ask God to help us, to rescue us, to deliver us, and that he is with us. Because there's all sorts of things that we will find scary and frightening and difficult, from the youngest to the oldest here. And when we face those things, we can ask God to help us, to rescue us, and need to remember that he is with us and he is able to deliver us, because God is in the rescue business.